Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott. Oilers Now. We apologize for those minor technical difficulties. Hey, it happens once in a while. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton-owned and operated for over 50 years, Royal Pizza offers curbside pickup and takeout options for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation, the Mediterranean chicken. Without further ado, from Inside Sports, he had a mammoth comic collection when he was a kid. And, man, you should have seen the amount of Lego he would have purchased as well. I know, because I'm living that on a day-by-day basis on the humble Stauffer abode. We welcome back to the show the one, the only, Reed Wilkins. Reed, how you doing?
Well, a couple minor clarifications there, Bob. I still have the comic collection. The comic collection still exists. It doesn't really get added to much anymore, but it exists. And who knows, maybe someday, you know, gambling debts, it might have to be sold to help out a little bit, but I still have it. I actually was never that big into Lego, oddly enough. I think, like most kids, I had some Lego, but I never really got into it, perhaps because I'm very clumsy and I'm not very good with that kind of stuff with my hands. So, no, Lego never really caught. I had a cousin that was pretty big into Lego, and yeah. I know that... I see the odd thing. There are some, it stays with some people into adulthood who still, you see online every once in a while somebody, in their 40s or 50s will have done some sort of elaborate Lego construction project. But no, I was never big into that. I know that probably surprises you, but I wasn't.
A little bit. Well, but in fairness, like Lego has really kind of taken off over the last decade, right? I mean, they've partnered up with all these different, there's like the Star Wars Lego sets and. So they've got all these different, I mean, Hudson's at the stage now where he's 14, but he's doing the 18 plus sets, right? So he can figure stuff out from an engineering perspective that I've been challenged to do my entire life. But it's just, I mean, that's his thing, right? I want to sit there and look at the salary cap of NHL teams, and he's not interested in watching game five of the Stanley Cup final. Like, that's just, hey, we all have our strengths. We all have our unique things that we're interested in, and we got to be open and accepting of one another on that journey. Read. So I applaud you that you still have your comic book. And what are we talking here? A couple thousand?
I did a bit of a kind of count a couple of years ago. I think I'm around 3,800 comics.
3,800?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all in boxes and they're all in the bags to protect them. But like I did, like even when I was a kid, Bob, I wanted to take care of them. I mean, I read all of them. I wasn't one of those people that just bought them and put them in bags. Like, I wanted to read them, enjoy them, but I also, even as a kid and as a teen, I was aware that I wanted to take care of them and have them as an investment. And yeah, like I said, there's still, like, I'll still buy the odd new comic, but the majority of them I got between 83 and 98. Now, the problem there, Bob, is that's when a lot of people were buying comics. So the era I have, there's a lot of inventory out there, which obviously is going to drive down the price. Likely, if I ever did try to sell them, I probably couldn't get as much than maybe if you had stuff from the 60s or the 70s.
All right, I'm going to throw this out there in our Ashley Fine Floors text line 780-496-0063. Was there not a Bruce Willis movie where he like survived plane crashes and train accidents?
Yeah, Unbreakable.
Okay, and his nemesis in the movie had a comic book store.
Yeah, Mr. Glass, played by Samuel Jackson.
There we go. So, see, Reed, I knew you would do that. You would know that.
That's a really good movie, actually. A really good movie.
I actually thought it was a pretty good movie as well. Sam Gagner was just on the show and gets himself another contract, play as long as you can. He talked briefly about, Sean Horkoff and the impact Hork had on him early in his NHL career, and Sean Horkoff's now in development for the Red Wings. The Oilers' Scott Housen was heading up development. He now works for the American Hockey League. Could you foresee a scenario in a year from now when Sam Gagner is announced as an Oilers development coach?
I could see him being in. I don't know what the timing is going to be, Bob. I mean, you guys stressed he's only 31, which is not old in hockey terms. I mean, I think if there and don't forget, there's another team coming into the league, so that's an extra 23 jobs for players like Gagner to keep playing. But I think that you look at a player like Gagner, and I think when he is done playing, I think he's exactly the type of individual that the Oilers or any type of team would want to have in a development role. As a player, he went through a lot. He was a high draft pick. He was expected to score, be on the top six. Obviously, he played on some teams in Edmonton that weren't very good. He went through that, and he's had to adjust throughout his career. And when we saw him in his return to Edmonton, which didn't last very long in the end, but you know, he had that ability to kind of fill in anywhere on any line and at least be effective. I mean, look, he wasn't to the point where he was going to be consistently a guy who could play on the top line, but you saw him go up there with McDavid and Draisaitl at times and at least find a way to chip in. And I think that's the, I mean, we talk to with our colleague Rob Brown all the time too, Bob, and we've talked to those players, you know, Matt Hendricks, whoever, guys like that, who have had to figure out a way to make an impact and realize that maybe the skill set that drove them in junior or when they came into the NHL maybe isn't what has to drive them anymore, and they have to find different ways to get an impact on the game. And that's why I think a player like Gagner is able to sit down with everybody and can say, okay, look, I was drafted wherever he was. He sixth overall. I know he was pretty high. Yeah. And then he has to, but then he can say, okay, look, the coach is not asking you to do this, you know, 20-year-old player, because he's not recognizing what you did in junior. He's asking you to do these things so you learn them and you don't have to shoulder all the responsibility of being a top player right now. And then maybe when you're 22 or 23, your game is more well-rounded and you can play a little bit more. And I think this ties into the ongoing discussion with Jesse Puljujärvi, Bob. I mean, the value of him having some sort of a mentor that says, okay, Jesse, in the NHL, you're probably not going to score every night. You might not even get a point every night. You might only get one good scoring chance a game. So in the other, you know, 14 and a half minutes that you're playing, how are you going to impact the game? What kind of things do you need to work on in practice? What little details do you need to do so you have an impact on the game and you don't just sort of fade into the background if it's not going for you offensively? I think that's a very cool suggestion, Bob. I don't know if it's going to be with Edmonton. And again, I don't know how long he's going to keep playing. He said he wants to prolong his career as long as possible. And why wouldn't he? I mean, that's a pretty cool job to play in the National Hockey League. But Sam, like, here's another thing, Bob. Like, Sam, from the times I was around him, he is extremely well-spoken and he's extremely intelligent. I mean, I think that he's a pretty observant gentleman. I think he's a good communicator who would be good to get that message across to players he might be mentoring. So, absolutely, I think that's a good suggestion.
It's interesting, like you mentioned Rob Brown. He was a first-line player in Pittsburgh that ended up in the minors and reinvented himself to be a checker to get back in the NHL. Gagner was a legitimate second-line player at Edmonton. Like, there's no question. In fact, at times, he was on their first line. But he put up second-line numbers. Like, Rob Brown put up first-line numbers for a couple of years in the NHL. Sam put up second-line numbers. Henrik's journey, obviously, considerably different. Like, he literally willed himself up from the East Coast. Like, you bring up Jesse Puljujärvi. It's interesting. Like, I don't mean to be dismissive of the Finnish league. It's not as good as the Swedish league. It's not certainly not as good as the KHL. I think it's important the Oilers find a resolution to this sooner rather than later. And I just wonder, do you think they can get valuation at a trade for, you know, the investment in the pick, or would they be better off just bringing him back?
I think at this point you're better off just bringing him back, because I can't see how you would get perceived equal value, I suppose, in a deal. I mean, look, he didn't play in the NHL for a year. So there's literally no information on how he can perform in the NHL. I agree with you with the Finnish league. It's not as high up in the European tier system or whatever you want to call it as I would put other teams. And when and again, as you and I have talked about hundreds of times, when he did play in the NHL, two different head coaches repeatedly reduced his ice time. And the head coach that came in second in Hitch after McClellan wanted him to be called up to work with him, and then Hitch actually played him less than Todd played him. So I you know, that doesn't give a guy a lot of cachet on the trade market, even if he did have a great junior career in World Juniors and all that kind of stuff. I think with Puljujärvi, look, as we know, Bob, I didn't agree with how he was handled in his first year in the league. I was fine with him getting that 8 or 9 game stint, but then I thought he should have gone and played, you know, in Bakersfield or wherever where he could have developed. But I think now there's a point where, and I see all the debate and I get the texts and the calls like you do, you know, his line mates, why isn't he played with this guy? Why, like at some point, Bob, it's not about Jesse Puljujärvi's line mate. It's not about his coach. It's not about his general manager. It is about him. And it is about his approach. And will he learn to, and I'm not slagging him and I'm not writing him off. I just think that there is a reality that if you see how he played and how his coaches handled him, that he did not figure out a way to impact the game when he wasn't in an offensive role or really feeling it, you know, to use kind of that term. So it's on him now to adapt, to put the work in, and to figure out how he's going to be an NHL player and what he does on those nights where it's you know, a 1-1 game and not all the pucks are going into the net. Can you check? Can you win board battles? Can you get the puck out the last 5 feet inside your old blue line? Those are all the little things that I think are truly going to make him a pro. And then, as a lot of players would tell you, the offense often comes after you do all those little things.
Reed Wilkins joining us from Inside Sports. Bob McKenzie putting out today that there were whispers out there that Jack Eichel may be available. Now, he's kind of poured some cold water, but where there's a little bit of smoke, sometimes there's a little bit of fire. This is an interesting one to watch with Buffalo because, I mean, the Oilers made the playoffs in 16-17 and were basically in the mix this year. And some have suggested, what about the New York Rangers? And I do think the Rangers are a team to watch. But what are your thoughts on Jack? Like, first of all, what do you think of him as a player? Realistically, what do you think the chances are he gets moved?
Well, I think he's an extremely good player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, you see what he can do. He's got speed. He's got a good shot. I mean, I'm just double checking his stats. Well over a point a game this past season, just under a point a game for his career, and that's largely because of his rookie season, where you don't expect a player to produce a lot. He's been on some teams in Buffalo where there hasn't been much around him. Certainly, it's frustrating. You've heard him voice that frustration as you have other players in Buffalo. To me, Bob, I mean, Ralph Krueger is the coach. The players there seem to speak pretty highly of him. I had Curtis Lazar on my show last week when he resigned resigned. And he said how much he likes Krueger and how he works with the players. And I think with the new regime in Buffalo, I think that would send a pretty odd message to come in, and the first thing you do would be to draft Jack Eichel, who's supposed to be the player that you're building around. I get where you're saying. Sometimes when there's smoke, where there's fire, but I think, you know, we know that GMs are always talking, and a GM is always going to answer the phone or a text from another GM. It doesn't mean he wants to go along with what that other GM wants. You know, hey, what would it take to get Jack Eichel? It doesn't mean that is necessarily going to happen in Buffalo. I would be really surprised if he wasn't back there. I mean, I think that's still the guy they have to build around there. He's a great player.
All right, here, let's go through the context of the tweets from Bob McKenzie. Imagine my surprise, says McKenzie, when I started making calls today and heard Jack Eichel trade rumors, including unverified chatter he may have at some point recently requested a trade out of Buffalo and that the New York Rangers were among interested teams. This, of course, required further investigation. The tweet goes on. Next tweet says, none of those talks with other clubs resulted in Eichel trade traction, but it's also believed that there was some dialogue between Eichel and Buffalo to ensure they both want the same thing, and then in brackets, to get better, obviously, and then to share the same timetable sooner rather than later. So the face value review appears as follows, says Bob McKenzie. Eichel doesn't want out of Buffalo. Buffalo doesn't want to trade Eichel. Move along. Nothing to see here. Fair enough. But some rumors are worth checking out and mentioning, which I've now done. Now back to draft prep. Well, he doesn't often do that. So that's it. And I'm just going to preface this. A week ago Friday, Elliot Friedman Reed was on the show and said, you would be surprised whose names are out there. That's he said that on Friday. And I believe that this is a different situation. Just the fact that we got a flat cap at 81.5. I'm looking at Florida and Arizona, some big name defensemen with big tickets there. I could see some potential movement there. I think we're going to have a real, like Reed, I know game six is tonight. I know we're going to have extensive coverage next week on the draft as well as on free agency. But I do think there's going to be more movement than maybe people think. What about you?
I'm not sure exactly what people think, but I think that, I think from an Oilers standpoint, you watch what happens at 14. I think unless the player drops to the Oilers, I think there's a really good chance they trade that pick to try to reclaim some other picks this year or next. You and I talked about what year the third rounder is going to go to Calgary, stuff like that. We've talked a lot about the Oilers that could possibly move to try to get an upgrade. Yeah, with the flat cap, that does change a lot. I mean, it has to be, if you're a team like Edmonton, it probably has to be dollar in, dollar out, or a combination of trades that does that thing. The one thing that is going to be fun, Bob, is how this is even further compressed. I mean, you usually got 7 to 10 days between the draft and free agency when it's late June into July, and now it's all happening in 3 days. And I know free agency will continue, but usually the biggest splashes in free agency are over the first couple of days. So I think next Tuesday to Friday is just going to be an absolute flurry of news and signings and trades and all that kind of stuff with the draft thrown in there.
Reed, great stuff. What do you have coming up tonight? Oh, you don't? Do you have tonight off?
I'm not on again tonight because of the game, but
Wow.
We're on tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, Reed, get back to those comic books, okay?
Okay, see ya.
All 3,800 of them. 150 at Edmonton. We'll wrap up the show after this. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Leon Draisaitl from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
All right. Thank you, Leon. Let's go to this day in Oilers history. At 151 in Edmonton, back at the 630 CHED studios, here's Brendan Escott.
Yeah, all right. Back in 1989, I know you got a couple of birthdays you're going to get to, I'm sure, but on this day in 1989, the Oilers acquired veteran goalie Pokey Redick from the Jets for future considerations. He was tagged for 9 goals in his only 2 games as an Oiler before spending some time in the IHL, the AHL, and ultimately finishing his career in Europe.
All right, and as Brendan mentioned, and unfortunately, I've never become fabulously rich, as the lyrics to that song go. Born on this date 58 years ago, legendary Edmonton Oilers goaltender Grant Fuhr, the Hockey Hall of Famer, won 5 Stanley Cups in 10 seasons with Edmonton. He won the Vezina in 87-88 when he appeared in 75 games. He was beloved by his teammates, a consummate pro. Brendan, a couple of reasons why Grant Fuhr was beloved by his teammates. He never once showed up a defenseman or showed up stare down his team after giving up a goal against. That was not his style. And that is something that first thing I look for when I watch a goaltender is to see if there's any theatrics on a goal against. And it's remarkable to me, generally speaking, the better the goaltender, the less likely they are to be that demonstrative. You know what I mean? Like, did you ever have a goalie on a team playing up that used to scream at you guys when he gave up a goal against?
You know what? I didn't, but I've watched a lot of soccer goaltenders do that over the years, and it's not a good look, and to be honest, I don't think it inspires much of the right emotions in the team around them.
Yeah, Grant, you know, the joke with Grant Fuhr was on the Steve Smith bank shot goal that, you know, was the deciding goal that got Calgary the victory in Game 7 in 86. A reminder, Edmonton lost four games in that series, so they'd lost three games before then. They also had over 10 minutes left in that game to get the equalizer. Not one player on that 86 Oilers team blamed Steve Smith, but the joke was Grant Fuhr said, yeah, I should have had that one. Like, that was kind of Grant Fuhr's mindset, right? Like, he was just that goaltender. And don't let the save percentage fully. It was a different time. Players had more time to shoot the puck. Teams weren't as assertive in backtracking defensively and that sort of thing. The caliber of opportunity was higher than in today's game. Grant Fuhr was a special athlete, a special guy, and a great goalie. Also born on this day, a player that is frankly controversial for a lot of Oilers fans. Born 38 years ago today, former Edmonton Oiler Dustin Penner. A big man with skill who stuck up for his teammates. Penner scored 93 goals in four seasons. That's about 24 goals a year. And in the 2009-10 campaign, the Oilers finished last, by the way, that year. Dustin Penner, 32 goals, 63 points, and was a plus six. In my opinion, that season is one of the most underrated in Oilers history. I know Dustin's active on Twitter. Not everybody likes his stuff on Twitter. He's got some interesting views, to say the least. The guy won two Stanley Cups, one with the Ducks in 06-07, and then one with the Kings in 2011-2012. Edmonton got a good return when they traded Penner to L.A. back in 2011. Like, they got the first round pick they got back turned out to be Oscar Klefbom. I sense that some of the media have a different perspective of Dustin Penner than a lot of the fans. Seriously. Some of the media are harder on Penner than a lot of the fans. I think for a lot of the maybe sub-40-year-olds, they kind of looked at Penner and thought he was, you know, had some ability and could make some plays and was a legitimate top six forward when he was in Edmonton. There is no debate. You score 93 goals in less than four seasons, you know, that's, you're contributing some offense there. This texter says, Bob, it was Grant's fault on that goal. Hey, Bob, what about regarding Jack Eichel? If it's the New York Rangers, what about the first overall pick in Kaapo Kakko for Eichel? Is that a fair deal? I would say no. I don't think that would be a fair. I think the Rangers would be giving up too much. And Buffalo, the Rangers would also need to move out some money in that deal. Like, they would have to at least move out, I would think, $5 to $6 million, because part of the reason why they traded Mark Stahl was to create some space. Again, they need to sign Anthony DeAngelo. He had a pretty good offensive season, 50-plus points this past year, right shot, puck-moving defenseman. They got to get Adam Fox signed in a year from now. They gave Trouba $8 million a year on the right side a year ago. And they got to get Ryan Strome re-signed, and Strome had 59 points last season. Keep texting the show at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Do want to tell you, coming up tonight at 6 p.m., Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, puck drop on 630 Chet at 6 p.m. Tomorrow, Sportsnet Spec, Mark Spector for the horses and Horse Racing Alberta, who present live racing each Friday and Sunday evening at Century Mile Racetrack. Up next, a global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by the 630 Chet Afternoons with Jalen Nye. So long, everybody, from Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.